What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 325, and this episode is brought to you by Patriot's Viper VPR 400 RGB SSD. This is a really awesome SSD. If you want to have RGBs on your SSD, this is the one for you. So if you want to get out, go to thinkcomputers.org/VPR400. And this is a special episode of the podcast. So I am not in the office that you see me here right now. I'm actually hiking in the woods in the middle of Pennsylvania. I decided to take a nice little week vacation, but I didn't want you guys to miss the podcast. So this is a special edition of the podcast with a special guest. My good friend Andy from eTechnics.com is here. And we're just basically, you know, we're just going to talk shop. I mean, that's kind of what this podcast is all about. Being a tech site owner, YouTubers, you know, just kind of been in the, we've been in the industry for a long time. We've known each other for a very long time, but Andy's in the UK. So it's, I think he said he has a beer. It's 9 a.m. here on the West Coast, and it's, yeah, he's drinking a beer. I'm drinking a, protein coffee. Shake to wake up. Coffee and protein shake together.
It's like a magic elixir. Yeah.
But guys, check out eTechnics.com. That is Andy's website. Of course, they have YouTube. He's all over social media as well. Does some awesome TikToks. You do what, Instagram Reels as well? You do all the stuff.
Everywhere. I think it's one of those where when you're creating content for TikTok, you can just take that content and put it onto Reels, put it onto YouTube Shorts. It's the same format, right? So it's just a different platform. You just have to be careful with music and stuff because, copyright and all that kind of stuff. So you have to tailor it to each platform, which is,
it seems like Instagram is the one that always, if you put something with some type of music on it,
it's tricky. But it's one of them, I guess, nature of the beast, like it is now. It's harder to create content now than it ever has been before because of algorithms and this and that and the other, that you kind of have to be everywhere. So it's really weird when people say, you know, what do you do for a living? It's one of them where you have to describe, you know, I'm here, I'm there, I do this, I do that. I don't know about you, I hate explaining what I do for a living.
Yeah, I run two businesses, if you guys don't know, and like the other one is creating websites, and that's just what I tell people. I'm like, I build websites. It stops the conversation right there, which is really good. But yeah, it is kind of hard. I mean, I guess you could say I'm a content creator, I'm a tech influencer. Like, you don't really,
know, people look down on you when you say that, though. You're like, oh yeah, I'm a YouTuber, and they're like, oh god. The weirdest thing is, do you know what I tell people? I turn around and say, so you know Jeremy Clarkson, what he does, like Top Gear or now the Grand Tour and stuff with cars?
Yeah.
I do that, but for computers. They're like, yeah. And they get it. And then that is the end of the conversation.
So, yeah. It's always about trying to limit that conversation because then they, you know.
Yeah, especially for you and me, because we don't just like work for a review website or something. We actually own them. So it's like, oh, well, on Monday I was reviewing. On Tuesday I was a photographer. On Wednesday I was a videographer. Then I was a marketing extraordinaire. And it just kind of, you know, so many different hats you can wear. It makes it very, very difficult to explain.
Yeah, it's never a fun thing going to like the family party or whatever and then trying to explain to some random person what you do. But let's start at the beginning. You know, when did you start eTechnics, and like what really got you into kind of doing what it is we do?
So for me, it's a weird one. We have to actually go back before eTechnics. I used to run a website when I was 16 years old. I was at college studying media, which at the time I didn't want to do. I didn't want anything to do with the media, but it's kind of actually worked in my favor. And I was running a website called Tech Arena, which, as far as I know, I let the domain name lapse and someone bought it. So, and now it's like,
that's a good domain name.
Yeah. I mean, now I believe it's one of the biggest tech review sites in India. So someone sort of, you know, got my good fortunes and stuff and carried it on. I got to a point where I was just interested in tech and I was buying stuff and telling people my thoughts on it. But my mom at the time, because I was living at home, my parents basically said, stop messing around on this internet thing, because, you know, back then it was like new and focus on your college work. So it kind of fizzled out. Then I had some jobs. I, you know, had some decent jobs between leaving college and starting eTechnics, but it got to a point where I was like, you know what, I want to do this again. I did it when I was younger, so why can't I do it now? And then eTechnics was born, and I guess, the rest was history. And it started as I wanted to just tell people what I thought of this and what I thought of that. And it just kind of went from there. And then, you know, you're buying your own stuff as well at that point. And then you start reaching out to companies. And I still remember I was getting, do you remember the company Ice Mat? They made like mouse.
Oh, yeah.
Ice Mat. And there was a couple of others. It was mainly mouse mats and things like that. Really sort of low value stuff. But it was like the step on the ladder of companies are sending me free stuff. Then it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger and then more responsibility. And now you're just like, damn, there's too much stuff.
Yeah, it's always if you go in my place out, like in my I guess you would call it my kitchen, there's just boxes everywhere of things. But I remember one of the first products I reviewed, I still remember because I was like, holy crap, I got something for free. Was, you remember like CRT monitors? There was like this little accessory that like went on the side that would hold like pens or something.
It sounds so ghetto, doesn't it?
But it was like, I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, you know, that was like one of the first products we reviewed at ThinkComputer. So, talking about products, like what, you know, we review everything that goes inside of a computer, a lot of accessories, keyboard, mice, you know, monitors. Like what, for you, what's your favorite thing to review?
So, it's such a tricky one because like there's the weird thing is, and we were saying this just before the stream and like off camera, it's harder now to make content than it ever has been because the space is so crowded for one, and especially on the website side of things, you can literally get away with reviewing anything. So one day you can review an SSD, the next day memory, the next day a robot Hoover, you know, like, or a vacuum cleaner. Like you can get away with being completely diverse. On YouTube, it's so different because you're having to, I guess, cater your content for the algorithm more than the people and more than like what you actually want to create. And I hate that because we're now creating content for an algorithm and we're not creating content that I actually want to make. And you don't put the same effort into it and the same, you don't get excited as much either.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, because my main focus is the YouTube side of things, we're pretty kind of narrow with the lane that we're sticking to, which is CPU, GPU, motherboard, like core components and things like that. Me personally, I still love GPUs just because it's always nice seeing them, you know, push the envelope. And it's always interesting because every generation it's like, oh my God, they made it more powerful. And it's like, but they could have made it more efficient. But they did make it more efficient, but then they realized it was too efficient. So they made it more powerful. And it's kind of like one step forward, two steps back in some cases, especially when we're hearing about the 4000 series is going to be like crazy wattage and stuff like that. But I still actually really get excited about motherboards. I know they're not like the most glamorous thing in the world because benchmarking them sucks because they all perform the same, you know, within margin of error, so many percent. But I just love how they can look in the system and what manufacturers have been doing with them. Like the Z690 Godlike, that was just crazy. You know, it's got like this little screen that comes off and you could put it on your desk. And it's just like, who needs that? Nobody needs it. But how cool is that? And that's what gets me kind of still excited. And I think, you know, when we've been doing this as long as we have, it's really, really hard to carry on getting excited about things because probably the same for you and explaining about your kitchen. Back in the day, I used to get like tracking notices saying like, this is coming, that's coming up. Oh my God, there's a delivery. Now I'm like, where am I going to put it? That is my main concern. Yeah. Like I have no space for, you know, monitors and things like that. I'd say graphics cards and motherboards. Still, my favorite things. My least favorite, monitors. I hate reviewing monitors.
I feel like, motherboards are definitely my favorite. If you guys listen to this podcast, I always talk about motherboards. I think the thing with motherboards is that's one of the places that we see new tech come out. You know, PCI, we went from Gen 3 to Gen 4. Now we're going to Gen 5. You see different connectors or certain things. And then all of the, I mean, just think about how all the, you know, little things you see on, like, say, like an ROG or a Godlike board, right? Like those things that 5 years ago weren't even like a thing. You know what I mean?
I always consider like the high end boards are a bit like the Mercedes S-Class, right? That was the first car to have ABS, to have like side airbags. It was like, this is new and it will be coming to all these other boards like later.
Yeah.
On. So like Thunderbolt and things like that and faster speed USB. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Cool. It's just, it's exciting, you know? And I think things are getting faster and people's demands are getting higher. So they need Thunderbolt. They need 40 gigabit per second. They need, you know, Type C. They need NVMe that is lightning fast because everyone's trying to keep ahead of the curve, I think. And yeah, you get that with the high end. The only problem is it costs you a lot of money to do it.
yeah, exactly. I mean, you kind of went into this, but like, I mean, we've been doing reviews for, you know, before there was YouTube and things like that. So how, you know, you kind of went into how reviews have changed, but is there anything else that like, you know, how doing reviews has changed over the years?
So I've learned personally over the years, you cannot please everyone, right? You could, I mean, we came out with a video the other day that was F1 22. So the new F1 Formula One racing game from Codemasters, or I guess now you could argue EA because they bought them. And we tested, I think it was 38 graphics cards. Like it took ages. We did them at medium at 1080p, 1440 and 4K. Then we did the same at ultra high. Then we did the same in ray tracing. And even then, some of the comments are like, oh, you didn't test this graphics card then. It's like we did 38.
Like, yeah, and it's be like, I don't have... That's one of the funniest things when it comes to YouTube. I feel like the YouTube comments sometimes are like the pit of hell.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, nobody's satisfied. They're like, we'll do a CPU cooler review. They're like, why didn't you test this cooler? Well, I was like, well, I don't have it. You know, it's like... I'm giving you the best, and they're like, oh, somebody else's video put this cooler above your, like, you know, the one you're testing. It's like, well, this is the results that I got from my specific system. I can't.
Yeah. And obviously, like, we try and keep testing as fair as possible. And I mean, this weekend alone, temperatures are going to get up to, like, they're saying it could get up to 42 degrees Celsius. That's like ridiculous for this country. Like, I don't even know what that is in Fahrenheit. It's like 115 or something like that. It's crazy. Bear in mind, we do not have air conditioning. So we're trying to do all these tests and keep them as consistent as possible and stuff like that. So I think like over the years, I guess we've tried to keep things as consistent as possible. We try to please as many people as possible, but you know, that always doesn't always work. And I think just what people look for in a review is different now. And I think, yeah, you have to cater your reviews to those types of people and things like that. So even silly little things like graphics card benchmark tools, we're trying to now steer away from them and just doing actual runs in the game and recording it using NVIDIA FrameView so that you're getting kind of real world performance. But yeah, like I say, I mean, there's so many things you can always look at and tweak and stuff like that. We kind of do that every sort of 3 to 6 months, but there's only so much you can do before you go, right, we've got to retest all of that stuff. It's like, no, that could wait. That could wait. I'm not doing that now. That's like, you know, next year's problem or whatever.
Yeah, as well, always people. So I have like behind me, there's a closet that's full of hardware. And like anytime somebody comes over, they're like, why do you keep all these things? I'd be like, well, you have to retest everything every time you review a new product or whatever it may be. And I also feel like the thing that's really different compared to when we started is, you know, back in the day, you just write a review and you're done. Yep. And now you have to package it. Or, you know, if you're doing YouTube, you have to create a YouTube video for it. And then you have to package all the social media out each, you know, for each specific social media thing, you have to package that out of whether it's a TikTok video, Instagram Reel now. You know, it's a lot different. It's not just like, oh, put it up on the website and you're kind of good to go. It's like, okay, doing a YouTube video on this, we got to, you know, get that out at the same time the written review comes out.
I think it was like different back in the day. You used to make a review and the only thing that was in your mind is, I want this to be my thoughts, my opinions. It's completely, you know, impartial. I'm not being paid for it, but I need to make sure it is ticking all the right boxes for Google. Google was the only thing you had to
focus on. Yeah.
Metadata, yeah. Keywords, description, that was it. Whereas now, there's just so much more to it. It's like, are they going to appeal to this, you know, if I put this up on this in this way on Facebook and then on Twitter. And, oh, I can't put that on Twitter because it's too many characters long. So I have to take what I was going to put on Facebook and condense it down just for Twitter. And yeah, that is just, yeah, it creates a lot more work. And I don't know about you, but I don't seem to be getting paid any more than what I used to for this extra work.
That's the thing. It's like, okay, you know, we're putting stuff on TikTok. I guess in some ways you can make money off Instagram Reels now and things like that. But for the most part, it's like I'm doing all this extra work to get eyes on me, but none of that work, like I'm not getting paid to do that. So yeah, it definitely can be frustrating. But talking about video, you know, you put out a lot of YouTube content. I wanted to know, what is the video of yours that's either the most popular or like the went most viral, and why do you think that it kind of performed the way that it did?
Okay. So, we put out a lot of content, and this is primarily why I drink. it's tiring work, but you know, it's rewarding as well. The most viral video that we had was how to reset CMOS. It's such a simple video.
Yeah.
And we've tried like replicating other videos within the same segment, like how to instructional videos, that kind of thing. And they've done okay, but not fantastic. But yeah, the best one we ever had, and I think it's about 10 years old now, is how to reset CMOS. It's like 1.3 million views, something like that. And it's still racking up views now. So
yeah, it's, it's not our most popular, but it's for the past probably 5 years, we did how to enable Intel PTT and what's it called for Windows 11 on every motherboard. So if you're running Asus, you know, how to go in the BIOS and do that. And we did it because I had all the motherboards here. Mm. I did that. And it's like, yeah, how-to videos. I always tell the guys that work for me, I was like, if you have an idea of how to do something, let's make a video or something. Because if it does get picked up by the algorithm, like you said, you just continually get views over years. So
yeah, the problem that we had was the board that we did it on. I mean, this kind of identifies how old it was. It was a board from, do you remember Jetway?
Yeah.
Jetway motherboards, right? And it was a board that had four memory slots. Two of them were DDR2, two of them were DDR3.
I remember that,
This is how old this board was. And I was like, do you know what? About a year and a half ago, we need to update this. It's like a relic. I know it's doing well, but we could potentially make a new one and that will do even better. So we created a new one, which, you know, because things have changed now, most motherboards, you press a button instead of moving a jumper, or you just get something metal and hold it, you know, to short the pins. So we created a new one, and that is now becoming the most successful video. It's the same video, but we actually made it shorter. And what we did was we had a little look around on YouTube to see who else had made this video and how long their videos were. And you know, they still weren't anywhere near our one, but our one had been, you know, already live for like 9.5 years. So we looked at all these ones that were done in the last year. And we said, okay, the shortest one there that's like the most successful is about 1:20. Let's make our shorter. Because when you're looking for something like that, it's the same when your car breaks. And I defy anyone to disagree with me on this. When your car breaks and you need to find like how to get to the fuse box in your car or something like that, you go on Google, you search how to do this, and then you look for the shortest video. Because if there's an eight minute long video and the guy's like, hey guys, it's your boy, blah blah, you're like, nope, scroll. You're trying to get to the bread and butter of it. So yeah, we made it the shortest, and we now get huge amounts of views on that every single day, and it's like a year and a half old now.
I do feel like now that YouTube has added chapters, you know, you can put chapters in your video, it does make it, it allows the user to go in and kind of get what they want out of, if it is a how-to video, you know what I mean? That's how we broke up that by each manufacturer, you know, here's how to do it in this BIOS, here's how to do it in that BIOS. We kind of broke it up into chapters, which makes it, because the video is long because, again, we did every, you know, motherboard manufacturer and how to do it. So
people want to get to like the MSI or the Gigabyte or the Asus or, So yeah, it has to be done. But again, going back to what we were saying, that's then more work for us as well, because we have to, either in your editing software, so we use DaVinci Resolve for our videos, which you can actually just set chapters and then it exports it all for you. Or you have to manually go through and go 29, 30, 29. And it's more work. We didn't have to do this back in the day. And I've just realized I've now become my dad Like these, you know, back in my day, we did this, and but that's the truth of it. You know, things have changed, and we have to adapt as it changes as well.
Going back to products, so far this year, 2022, what's the favorite thing that you've had a chance to review or take a look at? Like favorite product?
That's a tough one because, and I don't know if you're in agreement with me, but there's been so many products that are just like, all right, you're refreshing that one. And it's the same product, just like slightly tweaked, you know, oh yeah, we got a 3080, but now we've got a 12 gig. It's like, so it's basically the same as the 3080 Ti, basically the same as the 3080. It's just, it's hard to get excited about that stuff when it's not pushing the envelope, when it is just like cash grabbing and things like that. I want to say the Z690 Godlike from MSI is definitely up there just because, you know, no one needs that board. It was it came with an AIO memory and the board, and it was like $2,400 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, it was
like
crazy.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you could only buy one if you'd already had a Godlike product. So, I've got an X570 Godlike in the system next to me. I would then have to go onto the website, put in the serial number for this, and then it's like, hurrah, you are eligible. It's like buying a Ferrari. Some of the Ferraris, they did the same sort of thing. I mean, yeah, no one needed that type of board, but it had these crazy features that I was just like, no one needs that, but it's so cool, and it gets you excited again. So I definitely say that's up there. And then probably like some of the stuff that I haven't quite reviewed yet, but I just got in a memory kit, which is DDR5, 32 gig, 6600 megahertz. It's like, I remember when pro overclockers were pushing to them sort of speeds. And now it's like, oh no, you can just buy that kit, set XMP, and like off you go. It's like,
yeah, you're good to go. Yeah.
Like, where does this stop? How fast are we going to get? So that gets me excited. And I'd say, even though I haven't technically reviewed that yet, I'm actually excited to see how far I can push it because there's so many variables at play. Can your CPU's memory controller deal with it? Can the board deal with it? Because if you've got a board with two DIMM slots, like some of the EVGA ones, they are actually kind of better geared for these higher speeds than having four slots, even if you only use two of them, because obviously the power delivery has to be there for all four. So then you're kind of, I guess, what's the word? Like weakening down the signal to each individual DIMM and stuff. So yeah, it's nice to get back to like pushing the boundaries a little bit for like a consumer, because I don't want to have to get LN2 out and do this and do that. It's just, that's not my bag at all. So it's nice that consumers can kind of, you know, get a little taste of it.
Yeah. And then kind of going off of that, is there anything that you're looking forward to that's going to be coming out or, you know, down the line a little bit? Like what's something that you're really, as far as PC hardware, like really looking forward to?
So, I mean, I'd be a fool if I didn't say NVIDIA 4000 series. Yeah. I mean, everyone wants, you know, 4080s. And I think the important thing there is everyone wants to know, are they really going to like draw that much wattage? Because, you know, I mean, there's rumors, you know, 600 watts and 650 and stuff, like crazy numbers. I think it's going to be more realistic around like 450. But even then, looking at the 30 series, like the 3090 Strix editions and that, if you've got let's call it the special BIOS on there, they can pull 450 watts easily. So obviously that's exciting because it's always nice to see what they do and how they push things. I guess AM5. The reason I'm looking forward to that is not so much because, you know, I love AMD. I mean, my system next to me is AMD. My system at work is Intel. I really couldn't care. You know, I have reasons to like and dislike both, but I like the fact that there is competition once again in the market. So AMD coming and having AM5 is going to bring down prices. And I mean, I always say this in all my videos, there's only going to be one winner at the end of it. And it is the consumer, because they're going to have choice and, you know, pricing is going to get better, especially after the last, what, almost 2 years with graphics cards. It's been crazy. And I think we're just starting to get better in the UK. I think the US is still a little bit behind with it. But yeah, it's been crazy. So it's nice to get back to some kind of normality. They're probably like the main two things. And obviously Intel releasing graphics cards. Obviously there has been a few things come out already about the low end, should we say, and they're terrible. I said it when they first announced it. I said Intel's first like load of GPUs are going to suck and they're going to be so bad, but their second generation is going to be amazing because they're going to learn so much from it.
I always say when it comes to tech, like that first gen, you typically never want to buy the first gen, second gen, whatever it is. I remember when like Apple Watch came out, I was like, first gen, not so much. Like all the new, like when wearable tech first came out, I'm like, I'm not into it. And then obviously I have an Apple Watch now. That was the same thing like with my drone. I was like, I'm not going to buy the first one. Buy the second generation.
Herd mentality, you got sucked in. But I mean, look at AMD Ryzen, the first gen. It was good, but the memory controller, oh my God, it was terrible. Like trying to get memory that worked with it was terrible. Second gen, great. Third gen, wow, it just works. And Intel were just there like, yeah, we work fine. We've worked fine for ages. What are AMD even doing? So yeah, that's the interesting stuff. When new stuff comes out and then it's just like, okay, just please learn from it, make it better and move on. And I love it when companies listen to consumers as well. I hate it when you see them kind of fall into the same mistake time and time again. Whereas when you can see that they've actually listened to like consumer feedback, a company, for at least from my standpoint, gets so much respect from me for doing that compared to these brands who just keep churning out shoddy product after shoddy product.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna mention any names, but
you talked about going to work. So was it like 2 years ago you finally got out of the house? I still work at home. This is my second bedroom, which is my office. But you actually got a real office space. How has that helped your productivity or hurt your productivity? Or like, what's it like actually going to work, not going to like the next room over?
So, yeah, it was interesting because right now I'm in the room that I used to use as a studio. It's not a very big room. I mean, property in the UK is expensive. This room is like 2.2 meters wide by like 4 meters that way. It's not big at all. And we used to have, I mean, our studio has always been a stock room as well. A bit like I can see in your background, you know, you've got products there and it's probably like, for two reasons. One, it looks good. And the second one, you've got nowhere else to put it, right?
Yeah.
So ours was the same. And yeah, moving from here into an office made such a big difference that once I had sort of left work, I had left work. Whereas even though, you know, I had this room and I had another room for an actual office, which is even smaller, there was stuff on my hallway and like in my kids' bedrooms, and you know, it wasn't good for like relationships and stuff like that, like you have with your spouse. She hated me. I've got a very, very forgiving fiance. So, you know, I was quite lucky there. But yeah, we moved into an office space that was, I don't know if you do meters or feet, but it was like 30 square meters, something like that. So it was an okay size. Now we've actually moved in the same building, but upstairs, and we have two rooms. So we're totaling now just under 70 square meters. And we are now honestly thinking about, we need like a warehouse and we can put up some fake walls and like go full on, you know, Jay's Two Cents Linus kind of style and do something there. But again, property is expensive in the UK, so I wouldn't say it's hurt anything whatsoever, apart from the moments where, if you're anything like me, you work quite late hours and stuff, and it is handy having that on your doorstep that you can, I'm just going to go in and do some more tests, or I'm just going to write up a little bit of this. That's handy. I'm quite lucky. My office is like a 2 minute drive away. So I guess I still have that element of it, but it is nice having the separation. And I'd advise anyone who has the opportunity, definitely do it. Definitely.
Yeah. I think I remember before I moved to California, I was living, because I knew I was moving, like in a one bedroom apartment. And then like the office was in the actual, like the living room. Which was horrible, because you can never escape it. And in that, now moving into this place, which was two bedrooms, I can sort of escape it. I can close the door and I can go into the living room, and there's, you know, it's a nice separation. But I always wondered how, you know, actually going into an office is different for you. So yeah, and like, what is, you know, for you, say, like, what's a typical day like in Andy's world? Like, you know, kind of give us like the cliff notes of kind of like what your typical day is like a normal work day, I would say.
You know, I'm a YouTuber, so, you know, I do nothing all day and, you know, just get the views, right? That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's not that simple. I wish it was. And I'm sure there are people who, you know, have that flexibility. Things have changed so much over the years in terms of, I used to film and edit, and then I moved on to getting someone who can film and edit for me. Now I have a team who film and edit for me. and tests for me as well. So yeah, I guess I just sit back and do nothing now. I guess a typical day for me is I wake up about 6:30 in the morning, which is a lot easier to do in the summer than it is in the winter, because in the winter it's pitch black. And yeah, I go into the office. We get there for about 8 o'clock in the morning. And instead of doing like 9 till 5, we do 8 till 4. The reason for that is I wanted to see my kids in the evening. And when I was finishing at 5, realistically, I wasn't finishing until like 5:30. Getting home, it was closer to 6. You have dinner, you watch something on TV, and then you go to bed. I wanted some of my evening back. So we shifted it ever so slightly to do 8 till 4. And yeah, we get in, and I mean, no 2 days are the same, because one day we might be filming, the next day we might not film at all. Like this week, we haven't filmed anything because we did so much filming last week that we've actually got videos for this week already lined up and next week. But then on Monday, we're going to try and film like 3 videos in one day. So it's pretty crazy as to like how it differs and things like that. But we do have a little bit of a schedule, and I look at what we're doing, if scripting is done, because we script a lot of our videos unless they're like build videos. Is testing done? Have we got everything? And then, you know, are the editors working on anything, or have they got the time to do it? Because they also double up as camera people as well. So yeah, it really changes day to day. I couldn't go through like a typical day for me, because there's no such thing as a typical day. It really does differ. And I'm sure it's the same for you as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, I do like specific things. I always like every morning, you know, I have a guy who writes our news for the site. Like I go over his posts, make sure everything's good. But yeah, I mean, every day is different. One day I'll shoot a video, one day I'll be testing all day. It all kind of depends, but yeah.
Testing can be quite brutal as well. Like depending on what you're testing, like 38 GPUs took a week.
Yeah. And then the thing that sucks about GPUs is you hit start on your run or whatever, and then you wait 15 minutes and then like, okay, it's 66 FPS, you know, and then you got to do the same thing again and again, and you're just sitting there. It's very monotonous, I would say.
Oh yeah. It's really like debilitating. You're just like, I've seen this over and over, but it's great because you can actually do it with your eyes closed and things like that. And you get to a point where you start playing games with it and stuff as well. It's like driving a car and trying to get the highest miles per gallon and things like that. It's just, you have to do that to keep your sanity. It's really, it really is kind of, it's just so much. You just, again, the reason I drink.
Talking about that though, getting into, you know, do you ever burnouts of, I know a bunch of us who do this, I've talked to a bunch of people, you know, who do kind of get burned out. Like, what do you do when you get burned out? How do you deal with it? How do you kind of stop it from happening, I guess?
So I will be 100% completely honest. Until about a month ago, I had never, ever felt burnout, ever.
Okay.
In my whole entire career, I just got on with it and it never really affected me. And I know there's like so much talk about like mental health and stuff at the moment and things like that. And I was always one of them people like, never going to happen to me. But in the last month, I have been super stressed, and it kind of, I realize now that it was stress because I was thinking it was anxiety. But I mean, you know me a long time. I'm not an anxious person. I'm not a nervous person, anything like that. But yeah, in the last month, I was like, why do I feel like this sense of anxiety? And I actually found it was stress. And the only thing I can actually pinpoint it down to is our team is the biggest it's ever been. And so many of their jobs are reliant on me. So if I don't script a video, he can't film a video, which means he can't edit a video. And if I don't script a video, he can't test for the video. So everyone is kind of like, come on, Andy, we need stuff to do and things like that. And it's only just hit me. Yeah, probably last 3 weeks to a month where I've just gone, this is just a bit too much. How I've dealt with that. Did I mention I drink? but I don't think I really have dealt with it. That's the funny thing. I think it's just a matter of, I'd probably say going for walks really helps. Like literally sticking on the podcast. I mean, you know, prime time to sort of, you know, say how good podcasts are and things, because you just kind of lose yourself in that, or even just music, or sometimes even just walking and just like clearing your head is such an amazing thing. And I think so many people in our industry and probably many other industries, have been dealing with this over the last like 2 years because of lockdown and everything that's been going on and things like that, it's taken its toll on people. Because I mean, we used to go to shows, right? We used to go to CES, and I know you haven't, but I used to go to Computex in Taiwan. I've not been out of the country, I think now, for like almost 3 years.
Yeah.
When you've done that every single year, and I mean, normally I'd go out of the country like 5-6 times a year, and I've not been anywhere for 3 years. That takes a huge toll just on your body, on your mental sanity and everything. And I honestly can't wait to get back to, yeah, going to shows and actually sitting down and having a drink and a, and you know, some good food with you in Vegas and things like that. Yeah.
That was always the best part. I always look forward to the Vegas trip every year. And
not for the place, right? It's for the people.
Yeah. I mean, well, that was the best thing. It was because, you know, in our industry, while it has grown exponentially over the years, it is still kind of like a small kind of group of people that kind of do what we do, and we all know each other, and we're all from different parts of the world, but the, you know, those, they allow us to all kind of come together and to be like, oh, it's the only time I get to see Andy every year. You know, we always would grab a drink or something to eat. It was always good, you know, just to BS and kind of talk shop and just you know.
Yeah, it's really weird because it's kind of like we don't talk often, but we could like see each other at CES and then not see each other for a whole year. But it's just like you just pick up from where you left off. There's no like, you know, anything in between and stuff like that. It's just, yeah, let's go for food. Let's go do this. Let's go do that. And it just, yeah, it's like, you know, seeing each other a week later, let alone a year later. It's crazy how that effect is. And yeah, like you mentioned, it's, I think from the outside, people see this industry as like massive, like really, really big. It's not. It's like a very, very small, dysfunctional family. Everyone knows everyone, and you know, there's no secrets or anything like that. It's a crazy, weird industry because, you know, yeah, you can look at Intel, who has tens of thousands of employees, but when it comes to like marketing and PR, there's like two. And they're the people that we deal with. So when you think out of all these companies, one person there, two people there, one person... quite small overall. So
and a lot of the PR people move around. Like you'll be like, this one person worked for this company and now they're at this company, or somebody that's been in the industry as long as we have has worked at like six different companies. It's
even a lot of the media, right? So you had like Ryan Schrout and what was his name from Hard OCP, and that they're working for like AMD or Intel and stuff like that. They've gone to the dark side, as we'd call it, as journalists. So yeah, it's interesting that it's very, very rare that anyone actually leaves the industry. They move around within the industry, whether it be to this side or that side, but they never typically leave. It's like once you're in, there's no leaving. Like you're trapped for life.
It's like the mafia. Once you're in, you're in.
Yeah, they tried to pull that line on it. Yeah, I tried to get out and they pulled me back in.
Yeah. So as far as, you know, what we do, what would you say is the best part about your job? Like what is the thing that, you know, if you were doing something else, you might not be able to do, or, you know, just like, what is the best thing you think about your job?
Okay. Last 3 years aside, traveling, like being able to go to different places. I mean, I've been to some crazy good places. Vegas, you know, I'm not a massive fan of Vegas. Once you've been like, what, 13 times I think I've been now, the novelty soon wears off. Anyone who kind of lives on the West Coast probably knows that you go there for like, you know, a holiday, but for us it's not a holiday, it's still work. And you know, I've been to other good places like different parts of California and things like that. I've been to Taiwan, Hong Kong, Germany. So I never had the opportunity to really explore different places around the world, and there's so much more that I still want to explore. But yeah, last 3 years that just hasn't happened at all, which sucks. So I guess, yeah, those 3 years aside, that is the best part about my job. The other part, I guess, collectively including them 3 years, I would say it's probably, I don't know, there's a few things. Obviously I get to test stuff before it's even out, before it's in the shops and things like that. And you know, we get, and I hate it when people say it, but yeah, we get free hardware. You know, it's not free because we have to work so hard to actually test it, review it and stuff like that. But yeah, we get to try things and essentially work as a bit like R&D for these companies. We're doing the research and development for them and beta testing it and trying different BIOSes and things like that. So we get to do that. But I guess that's nice. But I think the biggest thing is the people that you get to work with in the industry, which kind of goes back to, yeah, going to shows and seeing people and stuff like that. We've not been able to do it, but at least we still have. I mean, imagine if this was 10 years ago. We wouldn't be on like a video call like this. We wouldn't have the clarity that we have and stuff like that. It would be what ICQ and things like that, like typing away or IRC. It's so that's changed a lot. And I'm really happy that technology has advanced that quickly, that we get to still have some kind of a relationship with the people that, yeah, we'd normally be sitting down having a meal with and talking about what we saw on the show floor that day and stuff like that. So I honestly can't wait to get back to that.
Yeah, I'm gonna, hopefully this year CES will be good. We'll see.
Yeah, we've got a few months left before that happens, but anything can happen. We know that, but, you know.
Yeah, that's the crazy part, because you want to book a hotel or whatever, and then you're like, well, I don't know if whatever's gonna happen. So
So
over the past, I would say past couple years too, you've really built a pretty big community, your own community, eTechnics community. You guys have a great Discord, which I'm in. What's the best thing about your community of, I guess you would call them fans or just gamers or, people that kind of follow your content?
I think it's a tough one to say, because we have like followers from all around the world. You know, some of them are natively English speaking, some aren't, but we've never been like judgmental of anyone's creed or where anyone's from or their knowledge level, which I think is a big thing, because especially when you look at some of these Facebook groups and things like that, which, I'm not knocking Facebook groups. They are an amazing source and wealth of information, but some of the like people, I've just built my first PC. Here's a picture. And then you just get all the idiots like, oh my God, I could have built that in my sleep. Like when I was like 6 years old, it's just like, screw you. Like, you're clearly not here for the right reasons. You're just here to sort of, push your agenda. And I hate that. So this was actually one of the reasons why we created our Discord, which currently has like 4,300 members. So it's grown exponentially. And we always prided it on having no toxicity, having no judgment or anything like that. And the funny thing is it's quite serious, actually. I've had people, especially again over the last couple of years due to all the lockdowns and things like that, message me privately and say, because of that Discord server, it's literally saved their life, which is like powerful, powerful sort of words, that they've managed to find a place that they kind of feel they belong, where they can talk to like-minded people, the rest of us nerds and geeks and stuff like that, without judgment. Because as soon as I see something like that, I'm like, right, let's clean up that ban hammer. Let's get it out and, get rid of this person. Because, we just don't want that on our server. And again, we've become like a bit of a semi kind of dysfunctional family. So we have Patreon as well. And a lot of the people on our Discord became Patreon because they wanted a way of supporting us. And we started last year having Patreon meetups, where they'd come to our office, we'd do some giveaways, we'd have some fun, then we'd go camp in a field for like 2 nights. And it was because I wasn't able to go to these shows, and that was my kind of respite and things like that. And I get to chill with the people that every 2 weeks I play games with on our game nights that we do and stuff like that. And it just has that real sense of community. And I can look at some of the people on our Discord and I'm like, he's a bit like the dad. He's a bit like the, the weird uncle that dances at weddings. And everyone has like their own little role within this like dysfunctional family. And I absolutely love it. And I'm trying to, and you probably experience the same, when you've got like so many people on Facebook and so many people on Twitter, trying to get them to somewhere different is impossible. You're like, you followed us on Facebook for like 10 years. Have you thought about Discord? They're like, nope. Okay then. And it's really hard trying to get people to follow you in other places, because especially Facebook, because I think back in the day in Facebook when they created pages, everyone just went nuts, right? Everyone was like, I'm gonna like that. Nike, Adidas, yep, like it all. And it was just everyone went on a little spree. Now everyone, I think, is a little bit tiresome. Everyone has a much shorter attention span, and that's why TikTok does so well, because people don't want to watch a 30-minute video when it's like, no, 30 seconds and I'm good.
Yeah.
So it's tricky, but I don't know, whatever we're doing seems to be working. Yeah.
Good. Well, I guess we'll kind of just wrap things up. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about or any? I mean, obviously, plug all your stuff. We have your website up here on the screen, yep. eTechnics.com. But if there's anything else that you wanted to plug or.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that kind of says it all. You go on eTechnics and you'll see links to all the different platforms. We're pretty much eTechnics on everything. We was quite lucky that no one managed to steal any of the like vanity URLs before us. So whether you go to YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, it's all just at eTechnics or eTechnics. All I want to say is thank you for having me. And I kind of feel like this was long overdue because the last one of these that we did was probably at least 2 years ago. So it's been
It's been a while. Yeah. And I want to always try to get more people on this podcast, whether it's, you know, somebody like you that does what I do or somebody else in the industry. We had the idea of getting more people on. We've had a couple of people in the industry on, you know, but definitely want to do more of that. And maybe I'll just go on vacation so that I can just record these and just keep pumping them out. But you know, we appreciate you coming on and appreciate, because like I said, it's what, almost 6 o'clock there, PM.
Yeah. So I'm going to get some dinner soon and just play some games. I've recently got into Fortnite.
Oh geez.
So the non-building mode though, so you know. It's not as bad, but Minecraft as well. I fought it for many, many years, but we finally have our own Minecraft server, It's actually like really cool and stuff as well. So I guess I'll plug that minecraft.etechnics.com. You can play on Bedrock and Java as well, and you never know. I might be on there, and we can all play together.
Cool. Very cool. Well, like I said, appreciate Andy coming on again, eTechnics.com. And this will be the last. We had a special edition last week, special edition podcast this week. And hopefully when I get back, I won't be sick like I was last time. So we will be back to the normal round of podcasts. So we appreciate everybody for listening, and we will see everybody next week.